Venerable religious, dear students and parishioners, I want to wish you a very happy and grace-filled feast of Little Christmas. It's one of the names that this day has. It's truly the end of the Christmas season, the end of the 40 days that we've been observing since the Feast of the Nativity. And just as Christmas has M-A-S in it, so does Candlemas. It's just the very special nature of this feast. It's a very beloved feast, and it's such a wonderful feast to realize we all get a blessed candle today. So why is this feast officially called the Purification of Mary instead of the Presentation of Our Lord? Today is the fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary, the Presentation in the Temple, but yet we call today the Purification of Mary. The answer is that Our Lady was obeying the ritual purification that was prescribed for all mothers whenever they gave birth to a baby boy. And for 40 days after the birth of the baby boy, they were in a period of what is called legal uncleanness. It wasn't anything to do with sin or fault, not at all. But they were doing this in obedience to the law. And I believe it's in Leviticus that this, along with many, many other laws, were prescribed to the chosen people. Why were they given so many rules to follow, so many laws, especially in Leviticus? There was a very great answer given to that. I forget where, but the book right before Leviticus is Exodus. So Exodus was about the people getting out of Egypt, and God saved them miraculously. You know how it was. Moses parted the waters of the Red Sea, and they marched through, and then Moses called the waters to drown the Pharaoh and his huge army that was in pursuit. So Exodus was about getting the people out of Egypt. But the book of Leviticus was to get Egypt out of the people. Even though they were the chosen people in the Old Testament, and by and large they lived separate from the Egyptians, they maintained their culture, they maintained their religion, still they picked up a lot of the pagan worldliness of the Egyptians. So how well put, those laws were spiritual lessons. And it was a way for God to get the worldliness of Egypt out of his people, because they were infected with it. They had a lot of learning to do. They had a lot of learning to do in the 40 years of wandering in the desert. Unfortunately, by the time our Lord came, they had focused so much on the literal following of the law that they had lost the spirit, and our Lord had to chastise them. We talked about this in scripture study class last night, where they lost the spirit of the law. They were content with the mere external observance of those hundreds of laws, most of which were in Leviticus. But nevertheless, they were needed at first, and they were supposed to keep the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Nowadays, for us as Catholics, we do not have that many hundreds of laws to live by. It's a different spirit, but nevertheless, we do need to obey the spirit of the law more than anything else. there's going to be that human tendency to focus on the letter of the law more than on the spirit of the law. So some of these laws had nothing to do necessarily, or at least not necessarily, with moral fault. So when the mother was told, you may not come to the temple until 40 days are over, that's not to blame the mother. That's not to say that there was anything wrong with the wonderful gift of life that she had just given birth to her son. God was teaching them the idea of being pure. And so there were ritual impurities that they contracted often enough. We studied in the book of Tobias how just to touch a dead person meant to incur a legal uncleanness for the rest of the day. And we think of Tobias going out of charity. Actually, they incurred a period of 7 days of legal uncleanness to touch a dead body. Not that there was anything wrong with that, but still they incurred the legal uncleanness. So here's Tobias out of charity burying these bodies of his deceased fellow Israelites, and he kept incurring legal uncleanness over and over again. It wasn't just the charity of his doing that on his own volition. He also had to put up with the legal impurity that he contracted. Again, it wasn't a sin. But again, the purpose of these laws was to teach the idea that we need to be very pure before God. So in presenting Jesus in the temple today, Our Lady is being exteriorly being purified. Of course, she needed no purification, but it shows the obedience of Our Lady to the law. She both obeyed the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, even more so. So the lesson for all of us is a reminder of how pure we have to be. We lose sight so easily of the fact that our sins all bring guilt and true moral guilt upon ourselves. And we need to be cleansed of that. When we go to confession, the sin is forgiven, but what about all that uncleanness that we incurred, especially if it was a mortal sin? Fortunately, there are ways to have venial sin and even some of our temporal punishment of purgatory removed by things like devoutly using holy water, devoutly using sacramentals such as this blessed candle you received today, praying the Our Father, making a devout Holy Communion. Believe me, my dear brethren, we all have great need of purification because of the sins that we have committed. And we purify ourselves especially by obedience. And Our Lady had no flaw about her at all, and yet she's setting us this example of obeying the law. Just wanted to point out how this gospel from St. Luke talks about how carefully she kept the law. Verse 22 of chapter 2 of St. Luke says, after the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they carried him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. You see, there's that carefulness. 40 days are up, now it's time to go to Jerusalem. In verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according as it is written in the law of the Lord. So you see, the evangelist is getting across this idea of how important the law is. When it's obeyed in the proper spirit, it has a purifying effect. So they had to offer a sacrifice. One was a holocaust of thanksgiving, and the other one was a sin offering. And if they were wealthy, then it was a lamb and a turtle dove. But if they weren't wealthy, it was just two turtle doves. And Our Lady and Saint Joseph, because of their poverty, they must have given away a lot of the gold, or if not all of the gold, the Magi gave them. They had only the two turtle doves, a humble offering. One was sacrificed completely, the other one was partially sacrificed as a sin offering. And then we read in verse 27, and the evangelist again says, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus according to the custom of the law. So you see, you hear that idea of purification through obedience. It comes across so clearly in today's gospel. And then there's one more verse, which is not in today's gospel because it would make it too long. But this is verse 39. And after they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee. So let us admire the obedience of Our Lady, the obedience of Saint Joseph, the obedience of Our Lady, she who needed no purification, and yet she submits to it to give us that good example. They are perfectly obedient to the law as it existed at that time, not just to the letter, but even more importantly, to the spirit. Look at the obedience of our Lord. He's Almighty God himself, and he's submitting to his own law. Let us remember this example of obedience. Obedience, my dear brethren, will save us from many, many problems in life. And yet, we're tempted to be disobedient. Who's tempting us to be disobedient? The devil is. He's all about disobey because he knows that we incur more spiritual defilement that way. It all started with our first mother Eve. He was tempting her to disobey, to question God. So the disobedience of our first parents was undone or overcome by the obedience of our Lord and Our Lady and Saint Joseph. We too will conquer the devil and our own fallen nature by obedience. You know, if we disobey, we think we got away with something that your parents forbade you to do or your teachers told you not to do, you didn't get away with anything. They may not have seen it. But if remember, when you obey your parents, you obey your teachers, you're obeying God because they hold God's authority. So let us learn these wonderful lessons of today's feast, of the purification of Our Lady. Let us strive to be pure, to always atone, always apologize, even for the little sins and faults that we commit. Tell our Lord we're sorry. We want to work harder on overcoming them. Let us strive for a greater obedience in our daily lives. And let us always strive for the Spirit, the love of God and the love of neighbor that's implied. That's the real spirit of keeping the laws that lead us to such great glory, to such great reward, and again, help us avoid so many other problems in life. So a blessed feast of the purification of Our Lady to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.